I'll never get married, Mother. I've obeyed you, but I'll never get married.
That was what my brother Farouk told our mother that morning, stomping away from the kitchen. The set of his shoulders and his very manner seemed to add the phrase,
"And you can't do anything about that."
That was before he raised the butcher knife to his belly. I could see my mother that day, plump but still beautiful in middle age. She wilted like a flower, but through her sadness, I remember she cast an accusing, malevolent glance at me. She blamed me, Husseinna. I knew that. But I also knew she blamed me unjustly. She followed Farouk, my younger brother, who was 23 and in love, into the living room. I followed her. "Farouk," she said, touching his arms. "Farouk, how can you say you won't marry? Do you want to ruin me? So the busybodies would say, there's that woman who ended her husband's lineage. You have to marry, Farouk, you have to," she added, almost in tears. I just listened.
"No, Mother, I'll not. You're asking too much of me. You say I shouldn't marry Adama, and I've obeyed you. I'll not marry Adama for your sake, but I'll not marry anyone else. I swear by Allah."
Why, my son? Don't swear so lightly. You must marry. So many Muslim girls to choose from. Must you marry a Christian and an Igbo girl of all tribes? Igbos eat pork, Farouk. Igbo women leave their hair uncovered, and their men are wild. Oh, Allah, keep me from misfortune. Keep my only son from the wiles of Shaitan.
Mother, I love Adama, and love is from Allah, not Shaitan. I'm leaving,
said Farouk. Then he picked up his Gurje violin and left the house. My mother sat down in a heap on the nearest sofa. "Mama," I started. No, lawyer girl. Don't even say anything. See? This is what you want, go? All your lawyer grammar. See what it's leading me to. If your brother doesn't marry, that's the end of this family. Your second cousin, Alhaji Abubakar Hurami, will take over your dead father's title and this house, and me with it. Go away from me. I don't want to even look at you. You forced him into this, Mama. How dare you? How can you? The old misunderstandings have no meaning anymore. Traditions are guides from God, yet you disregard them. Allah forgive your disrespect. Let Farouk marry who he will and stop blaming me. Are you my daughter or an American? I am Husseinna, I said. I am Muslim and I do not fight tradition for the sake of it, only when it doesn't fit into modern life. Life is life, she said. And I knew she wouldn't understand. But when Farouk threatened his life with the butcher knife, she was forced to. I'll tell you how it happened. We are Hausa Muslims. While the girl Adama was from the Igbo tribe and a Christian, many in Nigeria, including my mother, still distrust Igbos because they had fought a 30-month civil war against the federal government 3 decades ago. The trouble was that love, in Farouk and Adama's case, was blind to religion and culture. The next day, we heard angry knocking on the door. Like that. I opened the door. And a middle-aged woman burst in, bristling, raging. I'd never seen her before. "Where's that woman?" she shouted. "That woman who bewitched my daughter, my only Adama. Where is she? Let her kill me or let me kill her. Oh, Jehovah, where is she?" She was plump, stylish, light-skinned. I knew she was Adama's mother. "Who are you, please?" I asked. "Who are you?" she demanded. "Are you Farouk Ibrahim's mother? Answer me. Is it your son that put a hex on my only daughter?" Before I could say anything, I heard, "I'm Farouk's mother. What do you want?" That moment held coil spring tension as my mother emerged and they sized each other up. "You! I want my daughter back. I want my daughter." What do you mean? I asked, putting myself between them, fearing a meltdown at the first mistimed word. Sit down, I said. Please, Mama, for Allah's sake, both of you, sit down.
Your son has put a hex on my daughter.
It's your daughter that put a hex on my son,
countered Mama.
She says she'll remain a spinster. She isn't going to get married to a nice Christian boy and have children.
My only son of my late husband, refuses to marry from pious Muslim girls. Your daughter, I curse the day he met her.
How dare you, Adama's mother screamed, shooting out of her seat.
Mama, I jumped in between them again, like an interjection in a violent paragraph. Both of you, sit down. Something in my voice made them look at me. What is it you want? Each of you, tell me.
I was widowed by the civil war. Hausas killed my husband. Adama is my only child. Farouk is my only son.
My family will no longer be Waziri of Balewa if Farouk doesn't marry,
returned my mother. I said, so what you both want is to have grandchildren. The reality of this sunk into them.
Yes,
they both replied. And if you keep being so strict, neither of you will ever hold a grandchild. I'm tired of this historical baggage. Can't you both see reality? It took me 2 hours, my greatest court trial, to get the two defenders of tradition and culture to see that their pig-headedness would annihilate both tradition and culture. It took me an hour's submission to get them to allow the two marry, if they wished. It took me just a second when I told Farouk for his face to spread in a smile like the flame from a cigarette lighter. But then the next day, Farouk was killing himself. My brother Farouk is a poet. He also has a fine sense of drama. There he was with a butcher's knife in his hand, and we all begging him not to plunge it into his stomach. It was a nightmare moment. Mama was in tears. What is this about, Farouk? I managed to whisper, very much afraid. A 12-inch knife pointing at your brother's gut does that to you. Farouk's face was ghostly. Would the knife plunge? But he looked at me, and I followed his eyes towards a sheet of paper on the table. I picked up the letter.
Dear Farouk, I love you but cannot love you because I am happy yet cannot be happy. It's just not enough that our parents have accepted to our relationship. Sometimes I go into the town and walk around and cannot pretend not seeing, and I'm disgusted. Igbos are killed by Hausas for no reason in the north. The Yoruba and Igbo in the south retaliate. It sickens me to see women rendered childless in the name of God. One indifferent God pitted against another. Blind, stupid prejudice. Nobody trusts or loves anymore. I'm disgusted, Farouk. I'll be leaving for the Sisters of St. James Convent tomorrow. I love you, but our love cannot work, so I'll hide myself away and remember. Forever, yours, Adama.
I held my brother's arm and looked at my mother. Farouk, stop being silly. Give me that knife. Mother, it's all right. It's going to be okay, I said. When we arrived the courtyard of Adama's house, I could hear her mother's high-pitched pleas.
I do not agree, because Hausa people killed your father during the war. But now that I agree, you say you won't become Reverend Sister. You know one bomb became for me to carry. Oh, Adama, what I do you? Jesus. Adama, please, marry Farouk. Please, don't become a Reverend Sister. Don't go and marry God, I beg. Adama, my Adama, try now.
Farouk, my brother, always carries a Goje violin with him. And I told him to play, to start playing right there under the balcony of Adama's house. I told him to play like his life depended on it. So he played. the music rising out of the strings like rainbow colors harmonizing rain and sun and all the contrary things on earth. He played his heart out, his naked heart, as when a child is born, that beauty of a first cry in days before children realize how to be ignorant, how to misjudge, and how to hate based on race and tribe, religion and creed. But they really did not need me to resolve that situation. Just like you don't need me to tell you how it all ended. But because I'm a good person, I'll tell you two things. Adama looked out on the balcony and her eyes held one word only. And Farouk didn't have to kill himself.